Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 107 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Verri.
And I am Claudio Spera. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Our next guest has a YouTube channel with an interesting concept, In My Head, discussing anything that comes to mind from 80s and 90s music, how-to videos, technology, video games, beer, and of course, Kiss. Speaking from the hip and from the heart, a great discussion is always a given. And we'll get a taste of that on tonight's episode. So, Kiss Army, let's get to know Brett Meredith. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on you guys' podcast video. It's an honor to be here.
Such a pleasure to have you, Brent. You know, it's amazing that we're collaborating on this episode. And I hope everybody's going to find it, fun, and it's going to be entertaining for sure.
Hopefully you don't lose viewers over it. I can be quite controversial.
Let's go for it.
Love it. Brent, In My Head definitely has an interesting hook that is quite unique for a podcast. Can you take us through how you developed this concept?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. There's a good chance that people that watch your podcast might not have heard of me. They may have heard of me. But just giving you a brief background, I've always been a huge music fan since I was a kid in the 70s, growing up in the 70s, starting with Elvis. Elvis was the first entertainer that I remember admiring, and I was a huge Elvis fan, still am to this day. But I have the way I kind of backed into my channel was I kind of backed into it about 5 years ago. I have a background in music production, motion picture filming, editing, video editing, as well as an IT background, electronics background. And somewhere between 6 and 7 years ago, I was listening to some Kiss demos on YouTube while I was working. And you know how when a video get done, YouTube will start playing something else that's kind of in that vein. It may not be from the same channel or the same thing, but it'll play something. And it started playing what I realized was a review of a Kiss album. It was a guy doing a review. And that guy turned out to be, I didn't know who he was at the time, but it turned out to be Ralph Vieira from Almost Human. Channel been around a long time. He's like the OG Kiss, channel. And so I started watching his review videos. And after a while, I think in about maybe 2 weeks time, I binged every Kiss review video that he had. And very controversial in his, he's kind of like me, kind of says what he means and means what he says. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, but I, you know, I am at the same time respectful, not saying he's not, but I am. I started thinking, well, you know, I could probably do that. I could probably tell people what I think about Kiss. I've been a fan, you know, since I was 7 or 6 or something, since 77. And I was like, I think I can do that, but I don't want it to be just about Kiss. I want it to be about things that are in my head. And I'm a huge Carnival of Souls fan, so I love that song, In My Head. I'm one of those few people that love that album. There's not very many people that like that album, but I love Carnival of Souls because it doesn't sound like Kiss. That's one of the things I like about it. And so I was like, In My Head, that's a good premise. Everything that's in my head. And it has a Kiss tie. Plus, it also has my channel. Over the years, I didn't start this channel just to focus on Kiss. It just kind of happened. And, but my channel, I've done food reviews. I've done, paranormal stuff, beer reviews. I've mingled some of those together. I've made videos of my wife, us cooking, me working on the microwave. It's just whatever, me working on my pool. I'm getting ready to release one of me working on my pool. In the backyard. It's just whatever, you know, I've heard somebody say one time before that everything is content. If you have a YouTube channel, everything is content. You can video, you can, you know, do yourself doing anything. I didn't want it to be focused on Kiss. It just kind of became that way. But I grew up listening to music in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and I also wanted to make random other videos about things that I love. So my original intent was not to make it all about KISS, and it's not been 100% about KISS, and in the future, it won't be 100% about KISS. But I also want to do other things as well. But that's how I kind of backed into it, and here I am 5 years later, over 500 videos. I think closing in on 4,000 subscribers, and I have some videos that have over 170,000 views, 165,000 views, and those are mostly Paul Stanley lip sync videos because they're very controversial. And people love to, you know, troll me over those, but they also watch them, so I get money.
And Brandt, so you have this channel, and how do you come up with the topics? So you're saying that, you know, it could be beer, it could be food, it could be KISS. So, you know, during the week you think of something, and then you kind of come up live with that, or you prepare? How does it work?
It varies. I try to stay relevant. Sometimes, just with my personal life being so busy with work and with family, I'm not always able to quickly react as some people do. Like if a album comes out, well, usually with me, KISS Online, I can react on it as quickly as I get it. But sometimes KISS Online takes like 6 weeks to get me what I ordered from them. So my reviews are always 6 weeks late.
Okay.
But sometimes I try to react pretty quickly to if it's something new in the KISS world. But outside of being reactionary towards something that's happening currently, I usually have my videos plotted out for about 2 to 3 months at a time.
Okay.
I try to put out a video a week. That always doesn't happen. And then I'll generally kind of have like 50% KISS related stuff. And I try to do a series because I feel like if you make one good video about something, people want to see more. So I try to kind of like you guys are doing with your series, your season 3, where you're talking to the fans and learning about the fans. And it's funny because some of the people that's been on your channel has been on mine, like Love Gun Girl, Cece. Mm. She's been, if you go back and look in my archives of videos, she's been in several of my videos as a panelist and as a guest. And I try to come up with something where I can bring people together as a community. I really hate making videos by myself. From the very beginning, I started making videos with my son while he still lived here. And I just try to figure out topics that I can bring people together and find out what their thoughts are, see if they have opposing views. So I'm currently working on a series where I'm just going to probably eventually have you guys in it, where I'm taking the KISS albums, and this is a very unpopular topic, because I'm messing with some people's Bibles. But I have a topic where I am taking the KISS albums and deciding, having a discussion with people in the video of what can we do to make this album better. If we were the producers of this album and KISS came to us and said, this is the album we're wanting to make, what would we do, knowing what it sounds like now, what would we do to make it better? Okay. And you know, that I didn't realize how controversial just that little thought was going to be, but it's turned out to be real controversial, because then I realized you're trying to mess with people, things that people have loved for years. Don't touch it, leave it alone, it's perfect the way it is,
leave it at this. That's right.
Or never release it, you know. It's like, well, I don't want to not have never released Peter Criss's solo album, so what can we do to make it better?
Carnival of Souls, right?
So I try to come up with series. I try to come up with topics. I have another series called In Our Heads, where I get together with a couple other people who used to be in a lot of earlier videos with me. And we sit down and usually the three of us, there's usually three of us in that video. And sometimes we'll have a fourth person, we'll have a guest. And we just kind of all chat leading up to the recording date. And we're like, let's each one of us come up with a topic. And there may be a theme to it, or we just may be all over the place.
Okay.
And it's kind of almost kind of like what a round table, what Rob's come up with. But Rob's is like even more organic. Rob is like, from what I've talked to him about, he might have like one seed question. And then that's kind of like what happened with us. He's like, I want to talk about this. And then an hour and a half later, we were, you know, off in left field, riding through the cornfield, knocking down mailboxes and everything. So, and it was great. It was just a totally organic conversation between two guys that share views on a lot of things and have opposing views on some things, but it was real cool.
I was talking to Rob, actually, Brant, and I was saying how that was such a great idea, the round table discussion thing. Just get on the show, no script, no questions, just chat piss. And I thought it'd be a great idea if we could all collaborate between, you know, a Kiss Army Nation podcast, right between the eyes, Kiss Army things in my head, and we all take turns on our respective shows. That would be so cool.
And yeah, because it really was a cool thing because we didn't have an agenda. We just chatted. It's almost like whenever you are out in public and you run into the guy that has a Kiss shirt on, right, and y'all kind of give each other that secret look and you're like, Kiss fan, huh? And you hope they say, yeah. They're not just wearing the shirt because they found it at Walmart or Hot Topic or at a truck stop like I found this shirt.
Right.
And you have some of the best conversations with people who are Kiss fans. And it doesn't matter if they've been a fan of the band for a year or two, or if they've been a fan of the band as long as I have or even longer. Exactly. It's just always a great conversation hearing people's, what you disagree on, what you agree on, finding that camaraderie and then finding that way of respecting each other's opinions and thoughts and stuff like that.
Definitely.
You know, it's really difficult to appreciate the concept of In My Head without really getting into your head. So let's talk a little bit about yourself. So how did this love for anything and everything come from?
Well, me personally, I was born in 69, like I said, so I'm currently 54. So just a little bit of background about me personally for people that don't know. I've been married for 23 years. This is my second marriage. First marriage was about 7 or 8 years. I'm married to my beautiful best friend, April. She's been in videos with me. We have 5 grown kids. We have 4 grandkids. Our oldest daughter just turned 30. And we have 2 dogs who often make their presence known in videos. They'll be barking because they bark at the wind. And I'm one of those, and I currently work in government and IT. And I'm not spying on you, I promise. We got busy. We got bigger things to do. And I'm one of those crazy people. I love to go to work. But my origin story, kind of how I got into Kiss and the concept of me and who I am. As I said earlier, I've always had a love for music, been listening to bands, you know, since Elvis and other bands since the early 70s. I grew up during the 80s from 80 to 89. I was 11 to 20. So it was my teenage years. It was my formative years. It was years that there's a lot of black holes and I don't remember a lot of it. I saw some of the best bands, went to some of the best concerts, listened to some of the best music. I lived in the best time. We didn't have internet. We played outside till the sun went down. We rode our bikes for miles and our parents didn't know where we were half the time. We waited in line overnight for albums to go on sale. We waited in line for tickets to go on sale. And you got to talk to other fans that was a fan of the band that you were waiting on the album for. I remember waiting in line for Dynasty when I was 79, when I was 10, waiting in line for that to go on sale. I remember waiting in line for the Black Album by Metallica. I remember waiting in line for Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 for Guns N' Roses. I remember waiting in line and sleeping on the sidewalk for concerts to get the front seat or to get on the floor. So it was a totally different time that I really hate that kids don't get to experience these days. It was really a totally different time, and it was a magical time. But the way I discovered KISS was accident. It was totally accidental. It was a beautiful accident. I've told this story many times to fans of my channel. I'll tell it for yours. I was a huge fan of Elvis. And when he died in August of 77, it devastated me. I remember I got to get choked up about it sometimes, but I remember laying in the middle of my living room floor crying, and I was distraught. And my grandmother lived with us, and my grandmother cared a lot for me whenever I was, you know, at home and stuff. My mom would be working, and she cared a lot for me and my brother. And so she knew I was upset, so she took me to there was this drugstore, and it was like an old school drugstore. This would have been in 77. So it was like a drugstore that was like a soda fountain and a short order grill and a malt shop. And they had this section where they sold albums. And during this time, there was this thing going around. Albums was real popular. It was these albums that for like Fantastic Four, superhero, Spider-Man, stuff like that. And it would have comic books in them. But they had an album that played. You put the album on and you played it while you were listening to the comic book. And it was live action with sound effects and everything. And it rang along. You read along to it in the comic book. And I remember going in that drugstore, and she's like, baby, pick you out an album. You know, go see if you can find you an album, because she wanted me to feel better. And I went over, and in the record stand was Destroyer. And we all know what the cover of Destroyer looks like. They look like superheroes. They look like comic book heroes. And so I was like, I want this. And I thought it was a comic book inside. And I got it home and put it on the album. And there was no comic book inside of it. And I didn't know who KISS was at this time. Had no concept. Had not seen them on TV. They were foreign to me. And I put it on, and it started playing that opening sequence of Detroit Rock City. And I'm sitting there, and it's just playing along like one of these books used to. And then the music started. And then Detroit Rock City started, the very first KISS song I ever heard. And then it played through the album. And I was like, this ain't one of them albums that I usually listen to, but I like this. And my mom, you know, she used to take me to this little record store called J. Joe's Records. And that's where I'd get my Elvis albums and stuff like that. That's where I got all my Elvis albums. And she took me in there, and I was like, I'm looking for this band called KISS. And the guy was like, well, they just had a new album come out. It's a live album. And it had just come out. It was KISS Alive 2. Came out in about a month after I became a KISS fan. And so my second album I ever heard was Alive 2. And I opened it up. I saw the tattoos. I saw the book and the gatefold. And I was just like, man, they had hooked
forever.
Hooked me forever. So that's the concept of how I became the guy that had, and it really did. I tell people this, and they just don't get it. Even my wife don't get it. I say that it changed my life, and it did. Because did it change my career path or where I would be? No, but it changed my life and the people that's around me, that's been around me, and the camaraderie and the friendships and the experiences that I've had growing up listening to this band. Mm-hmm. And even my personal experiences that I've had listening to this band that nobody knows about. It did change my life. It added to my life. It gave me a lot of things that my life normally wouldn't have had I not discovered this band.
You know, it's so interesting that you mentioned how this band, you know, changed our lives, and through experiences and through all kinds of things that we get involved in, like having, you know, this awesome chat with you now. So how invested are you in the KISS Army? So can you walk us through some of the KISS related events, concerts, expos that you've been involved or you attended?
Well, some of my critics and my trolls would question if I'm a KISS fan at all. I mean, because I have my opinions and I don't really sugarcoat it, but I'm never going to say anything bad to you or anybody else about what you feel or how you feel about KISS, what your favorite member is, what your favorite era is, what your favorite album is, what your favorite song is. Because those aren't factual things. Those are just opinions. It's your opinion, my opinion, everybody's opinion. Where I usually get like start to push against people with is when there are in fact facts. There's history that backs these facts up, or there are things that backs these facts up. And you have people that are just, they want to be oblivious to it, the fact. But I am a longtime member of the KISS Army all the way back to 1977. So well over 45 years. And as I said, I became a fan shortly before Alive 2 came out. And my first KISS concert was during the Dynasty Tour in 79. I was 10 years old and my aunt took me. And it blew me away. Blew me away. Whenever Gene flew, whenever they raised up out of the stage.
Yeah.
And all the smoke, and it's like, and just the big, huge lighting, the stage seemed larger than life to a 10-year-old. And I was in this arena in Charlotte Coliseum, which is now Bojangles Arena in Charlotte, North Carolina. And 12,000 people in there and three levels. And I was on the first level down to the kind of left corner angle of the stage. Watching Gene fly, it's the first tour he flew up into the rafters, and watching the blood come out of him look like a fountain coming out of him. And this was before we didn't know what they looked like. We didn't know all this other stuff. You didn't see a lot of stuff, a lot of the spectacle of the show and stuff. You couldn't pull it up on YouTube or Google it or anything like that. It was all word of mouth or magazine or trade or publications on television and stuff. So it was you experiencing it. Was you were experiencing it for the first time. It wasn't like, oh, I got a preview of what it's going to be like from a YouTube video, and I can see what it's going to be like when I'm there. You truly experienced it then and in the now for that moment. And so I managed to see, after that first tour, I managed to see KISS every time they came into my area. I managed to see them on tour. I saw the Dynasty Tour, of course, on Mass. They didn't tour here. They didn't tour for the Elder. But I did see the Creatures Tour and from, you know, Lick It Up and Animal Eyes Asylum. Mm-hmm. I skipped the Crazy Nights Tour because I was starting to really get into, I was in a band at the time playing a lot of heavy music. And I was starting to really lean towards bands like Guns N' Roses and some of the heavier bands. So I kind of skipped the Crazy Nights tour, but I was there for the Hits tour and I was there for the Revenge tour. And I was there for the, the Reunion tour and the Farewell tour. And I have not seen KISS since the Farewell tour.
Really?
Oh,
nope. Interesting. Not seen KISS since the Farewell tour. So I've not seen KISS in over 20 years.
Why is that, Brent?
I just don't have interest. I don't have interest in it. Okay. And I think, I don't know if y'all asked that something about that question later on, but I just don't have interest in it.
Okay. We'll leave it there.
Yeah.
Okay. Brent, let me just shift gears here. We see this amazing background you have. We know you are a collector, so Can you tell us about how you had to basically rebuild your collection from scratch after having lost your entire childhood collection? What happened?
Well, when I was a kid, I collected anything and everything KISS. I collected magazines, the cards, the cups, everything, everything, the pencils, the notebooks, everything, the trash can, the radio, the makeup kits, the costumes, everything. I collected KISS. And I was fortunate enough to have a mother who would pretty much buy this little brat anything that I wanted. And I had that collection all the way up through the reunion. Right around the reunion in late 1999, me and my wife, my first wife, we split up. And we left the house that we were in and both moved into smaller places, and my place was just too small to keep the stuff that I had accumulated, not only KISS stuff but just stuff in general. So I put my stuff in storage, and I remember very well that I had like 10 totes of stuff, cases of stuff that I'd been collecting since I was a kid, and a lot of it was vintage, a coin era type stuff, the stuff that's very expensive now. And my storage unit, I got a call one day that made me want to get sick. I'd gotten a call that my unit had been broken into. And that I needed to come down there and look and assess the loss. And I got down there, and the only things that were stolen out of my bin, out of my storage bin, was my totes of KISS stuff. That's the only things that were stolen. TVs were left. Electronics was left. There was a computer in there that was in storage. It was left. As a matter of fact, one of the totes, they had to take stuff off of the tote to take the tote that they could have easily have taken. I don't know if it was an inside job to this day. I think it might have been an inside job, because I remember being stupid and talking to some of the people that worked there about my KISS collection that I had, and that I hated that I was having to store it. KISS had just come back. KISS stuff was hot again. And I don't know if somebody there stole it and just made it look like theft, because no other break-ins were reported and nothing else was stolen out of my storage locker. Mm-hmm. So whenever I started doing my channel 5 years ago, I decided that I was going to begin collecting KISS again and focus on things I had originally and acquire those things again. I thought it'd be cool to make videos about it. And hey, I had this at one point in time and I don't have it anymore. And now here I am with it again. And that included my music collection, my vinyl. All my vinyl was gone. I had the original vinyl and it was all gone. I had multiple copies of some things and it was all gone. I've made videos of me opening stuff that I've ordered or going out to record shops or opening up stuff that I've ordered and got off of eBay or wherever. The only thing I did want to show this, the only thing that I have left out of my original collection, and the only reason I have this was because it got packed in the wrong box. It didn't get packed with my stuff that went to storage. It got packed in one of my clothes boxes. And the only thing that I have from my original collection is this Love Gun belt buckle. Little nice. 8-year-old Brent used to proudly wear this to school. And this is the only thing left, though, out of all of it. It's it. Everything that's behind me and the things I showed you kind of on the little tour before we started recording, that's all been reacquired within the last 5 years at the expense of thousands and thousands of dollars. Because KISS stuff ain't cheap these days. Go on eBay and look it up.
Yeah. Are you still acquiring stuff? Or
yes. One of my most recent acquisitions was what I showed you just a little bit ago. This Jean doll is a recent acquisition. These jackets are a recent acquisition. The KISS jacket, the KISS jacket here, the original Tyvek, and the black one, the series number 2 of it, that's still sealed. That's a recent acquisition. Mm-hmm. And the KISS Destroyer poster and the KISS on Tour game, those are both recent acquisitions.
Okay.
And I'm still looking. I get on eBay almost weekly. I'll save for a little bit, then I'll start getting on eBay and I'll start looking. And I've ran into some people that buy and sell collections. So sometimes they'll send me text or anything saying, hey, I got this before I listed on eBay, you want it, I'll take such and such for it. Like one of the last things I did was I bought like a large collection off of a guy, paid like almost $1,000 for it. And it had a bunch of stuff in it, and I drove down to Charlotte a few months ago and picked up the KISS dolls here that's on the wall. I got those from a guy that forgot he had them in his attic. And so ended up getting them for a pretty good deal. Ended up getting them for about $100 each.
Nice.
So got a pretty good deal on that. And I'm still on the hunt for a lot of things. There's a lot of things out there that's still on my list. The trash can's still on my list. The radio's still on my list. There's quite a few things that are still on my list that I'm going to get in here sooner or later.
Brant, you and I share a similar story, because I also lost all of my KISS stuff when I was young, except it wasn't stolen. I was stupid enough to throw it away. And I regretted that ever since. And I started to regain my collection by getting back everything that I threw out. And to this day, it hasn't stopped. So be aware that this rabbit hole goes deep. It never ends.
Never ends.
So I want to go back a little bit to your origin story. Have you met any members of the band?
So far, interestingly, the only member that I have met is Peter. I recently met Peter back in February. I went to a horror convention that was in North Carolina, about an hour away from me, and I got a photo op with him. I had him sign some stuff, waited in two very long lines for that. And he signed my Kiss box back here. He also signed my Kiss on Tour book of the Alive Tour, Live 2. He, on that big page that's got him playing his drum set, I had him sign that. Also have a photo of him and I up behind me somewhere from the photo op. And it was cool to finally meet the man who made me keep playing drums. And I used to play along to Elvis songs because I started playing drums when I was about 5. And so I used to play along to Elvis songs, and then I started playing along to Peter. So it was cool to meet him. He told me a couple things about the tour book, about the drum set, told me some things about the Mego Dolls. It's probably in front of him for maybe 2 minutes at most. And I would have liked to have more time, but I mean, the line and the wait was already long enough. I think I waited an hour and a half for the photo op, and that was scheduled. And then to wait in line to meet him to get stuff signed was like 3.5 hours for that. But the time that it was short, but I recognize it would have made it longer. But so far, Peter is the only member of KISS that I've met.
Any members of the band you haven't met and would love to meet?
I'd like to meet Ace. I came close to meeting Ace. I saw Ace one time in Charlotte at a club. It was called Cadillacs at the time. It's a strip club now, but it was called Cadillacs at the time. And he was opening. He wasn't opening. White Lion was opening for him, and he was promoting his first Fraley's Comet album. And we had gotten there kind of early, and I was there with two girls that I worked with. And I was in a band, so of course I was there with two girls. And I had the mullet. I had the blonde mullet and everything. I mean, and I was a drummer, and I had my spandex on. And I know this is hard to even imagine now, but I had my leopard skin spandex on. But we got there, and we got in early, and Ace was finishing up his sound check as they let us in. And he came down off the stage, and he walked right past me, and I didn't realize that it was who he was, because he didn't look like in person what he looked like in his videos at the time. And by the time I realized who it was, I was like, man, he walked right past me. I've came within about 2 feet of Ace, but I've never actually met him in person. I would like to meet Gene and Paul. I'm not going to go out seeking it. But I would like to meet Gene and Paul. I'm not sure if I would be interested in meeting Eric or Tommy. No offense towards anyone who likes those guys, but I've never really got this era of KISS. I've never really got it. That even though it's been going on for 20 years, I've never really got it. So I respect, for Eric. Not a whole lot of love for Tommy. But I do respect Eric, mostly when he was playing in makeup, playing without makeup.
Without the makeup, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without makeup, yeah. So I won't go too far down that rabbit hole, because I don't want people throwing stuff at their screens yet. Y'all are asking some questions. I'm not going to be able to get
it's
away
from
it.
It's all good. It's all good. Oh, yeah. It's all good. It's all good. Brant, so let's try to wrap up this part of the show with just a few rapid fire questions. Okay. I'm so interested to get your opinion on this, guys. So favorite album and least favorite album?
Favorite album, Alive 2. Kiss Alive 2 is my favorite Kiss album. I love everything about it. Least favorite album, Monster.
Okay. Song? Favorite song? Least favorite song?
Favorite song is Detroit Rock City. The live version or the studio version. I think it's because it was the first song I ever heard. And to me, it's just, it's the song that I'm always going to want to listen to. Least favorite song, if you're going to talk about a cover, I'll give you two. If you're going to talk about a cover song, I can't stand Then She Kissed Me.
Me neither.
And then as far as a non-cover song, this is weird because I just said that I don't have a lot of love for Tommy, but I have respect for Eric. But one of my least favorite Kiss songs is All for the Glory from Eric. And I think he has the other one, All for the Love of Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
I really don't care for either one of those songs. They just sound like, they just sound so forced and just so, hey, we're writing a song. Paul's going to write a song that the drummer's going to sing. It's like Paul and Paul McCartney John Lennon writing a song for Ringo. Yeah. It's just, you know, and it's the same kind of feel sometimes you had with Kiss writing songs for, like Paul writing songs for Peter. You know, I'm not a big fan of Hard Luck Woman, you know, because he should have gave it to Rod. Right? Yeah, should have gave it to Rod. It's the same thing. It's the same feel. So people like, oh, you just don't like the new guys. No, I don't like Hard Luck Woman either because it has that same feel. It's forced. Yeah. And I don't like it when Kiss forces things. But now on the flip side of that, crazily enough, I love When Lightning Strikes and what's the other one Tommy sings on the other album? He does When Lightning Strikes and when he does
Out of This World.
Out of This World. Yeah. I like those. But I think I like them because he's mimicking the spaceman.
Yeah.
He's mimicking Ace.
Yeah.
And so I like Ace so much that I drink the blue Kool-Aid and I'm like, hey, I like those songs because they sound like Ace songs. Ace should have sung them.
Yeah. The formula works in that case.
The formula works.
Well, I guess the next one, it's obvious. So favorite lineup and least favorite lineup?
Yeah. You got me there. You know me already, man. Favorite lineup's the original lineup and least favorite lineup is the current lineup.
Okay. Concert? Favorite concert, least favorite concert?
Believe it or not, my favorite concert was the reunion tour. Out of all the OG shows that I saw, the reunion tour was just amazing. Because, and I think the reason why it was is because all those tours I saw when I was younger, you know, 10 to 15, 16.
Yeah.
And I saw the reunion tour when I was like in my, you know, late 20s, 27, 28, around in there. And it blew. I went to that concert as an adult, and it was also the first concert I'd been to in a while, because of something that I had going on in my life during that time, and so it blew me away. I hadn't been to a show in a while, and plus they came back in my era. I love that. My favorite, even though my favorite era of Kiss is the original band. My favorite era, if you crunch it down even more, my favorite timeline of that era was the Love Gun to solo album era.
Yeah, 77, 78. Right.
Yeah, 77, 78. Love Gun, Alive 2, double platinum, solo albums. That to me, man, is Kiss at their peak. They're just, they were so good during that time. Musically, they were so good. Concert-wise, they were so good. Good songwriting, they were so good. Cracks or not, internal differences or not, they were firing on all 12 cylinders.
And I remember when they came back with the reunion, you know, the production of the show and everything was perfect. It was perfect. Yeah. It was fantastic
because they tried so hard to take it back to what it was originally. They tried so hard to do that, and they had the Love Gun costumes, and it was almost like being. Because I didn't get to experience that, you know, I didn't get to experience that. So it was like I was getting to see what it would have been like to see Kiss Alive 2 20 years later.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. My least favorite concert was probably weirdly enough, was probably the Hot in the Shade tour show. And it wasn't because it wasn't a good show, because I look back on that show now, like watching it on YouTube, and I'm like, man, that show was so awesome. I mean, it was just, the set list was amazing, and the band had a lot of fire to them. And man, the Bruce and Eric were just pushing that band so much and pushing them in the right direction.
Yeah.
And that they were going in and everything. But I hadn't really heard the Hot in the Shade album. I've told them a story on my channel that I listened to that album. I'd heard some songs off of it, the ones they released to the radio, but I hadn't heard the album all the way through. And I listened to the album all the way through for the first time on the way to the show. A friend of mine, I didn't even buy a ticket for it. I got to go. It was luck, because a friend was like, hey, I'm going to a show tonight. You want to go? And I'm like, who are you going to go see? And he's like, I'm going to go see Kiss. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go. So I got invited to go, and I'm like, man, what are they even touring for? They're touring for this new album. And it's like, yeah, it's Hot in the Shade. Let's check. And I was like, well, put it in the cassette player. Let's check it out. And I wasn't impressed with the album, and I heard it that night, I remember. And I went into the show kind of like, there was a lot of songs I didn't recognize at the time. But I go back and watch that show now, and I'm like, wow, that was such a good show.
Yeah.
Let's see. What did you ask?
Members. Yeah. Favorite member and least favorite member.
My favorite member used to be Peter. Man, when I was coming up, man, I put on the Peter makeup, and my sister was Ace. And she looked like him. She had long brown hair. She looked like Ace when she put her makeup on. I was just this little blonde headed Peter running around. But Ace has become my favorite member. I think, to kind of expand on the question you asked, who would I like to meet? The member that I think, if I could put all four of them in a group, in all KISS members in a room together and spend time with all of them, the one that I probably end up gravitating and having the best conversation out of would probably either be Ace or Gene.
Okay.
And so since sometimes Gene seems so full of himself, I'd probably end up hanging out with Ace and drinking a beer with Ace, even though I don't think he drinks anymore. But I think I'd still end up talking shop with Ace. Okay. Least favorite member, you probably already know, Tommy Thayer. I just don't have a whole lot of respect for him.
Yeah.
But, that's just my opinion.
Well, all right, KISS Army, fasten your seatbelts. For this next segment, we'd like our listeners to get to know Brant's thoughts on several KISS-related topics. In other words, let's go into his head even deeper. So Claudio and I are also going to give our perspective on these topics. So the first one, and it's a doozy, what are your thoughts about rock stars giving their political opinions?
Buckle up, kids. My thoughts of rock stars giving their political opinions. I feel like everyone has their own right to their own opinions and their beliefs. That's what makes being a person is having your own thoughts, being able to process those thoughts and come up with an opinion based on, hopefully based on facts and facts and truth. And I know in this world today, facts and truth just seems, you don't know what's fact or what's truth anymore, it seems like. But I believe that everybody has their own opinions and has the rights to their opinions. But I don't feel like any celebrity, not just a musician, but any celebrity, anybody that has a status because of something they have done that makes them rise up above everybody else. I don't think they have the right to push their opinions and their thoughts on the masses due to the power that they wield. And to me, it's dangerous and it's not very responsible. Even with KISS, even with Gene and Paul, me being a KISS fan and seeing some of the things that Gene says towards people or Paul says towards people on their Twitter accounts sometimes, it's just like, I'm just like, what are y'all doing? Why are you, what does this have to do with rock and roll? What does this have to do with band? You know, sometimes people listen to music to escape, and you're the person that's making that music or made that music. Why do you feel like you need to voice your opinion on anything? It's okay to have it. I respect the opinions that they have, but why does a celebrity feel the need to use their status as a platform for any reason? So that's just me, because I mean, I know some people could argue that could be good or that could be bad. They could be advocating for something good. Well, yeah, if you're advocating for something good, you know, what's good for you may not be what different strokes say, might be right for you may not be right for some. Old different strokes theme song. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, Claudia, what do you think?
Well, what I think, actually, I'm pretty much on the same wavelength as you, Brandt. To me, in the case of Kiss, I've always lived these guys as superheroes, musicians, okay? Maybe not like real human beings, okay? But we all agree that these guys, you know, they get older and they have the right, as you said, to voice their opinion. And I'm not trying to ban or anything. You know, they can say whatever they want. But in my case, I don't pay too much attention to what they say. I really don't care. Sometimes I read, you know, what they have to say just for the fun of reading. But actually, it doesn't have any impact on me. But it's true that, people who have a certain level of popularity, they need to be a little bit more careful. And it doesn't only happen with musicians. It happens with, you know, sports stars, you know, all kinds of things. But I have the tendency to kind of get these guys in a pedestal as musicians, and I don't care too much what they have to say, and even politics. You know, it's really sensitive. You know, politics, religion. You know, all those topics are something that you have to try to avoid. You know, if you have a certain level of popularity. Mm-hmm. Pask, you?
You know, if we're talking about Kiss, the mystique of what Kiss was is no longer there because of social media, right? We have an open door to their personal lives on social media. You know, we don't see the boys in Kiss as rock stars or gods or legends anymore. We see them as everyday human beings, you know? So having said that, in my opinion, I think like everybody else, they have a right to their opinion. And as a person, as a fan, we could either accept it or not. And, you know, Paul has said things that I don't agree with. Gene has definitely said things I don't agree with, you know. But I take it for what it is. It's like, it's an opinion that they have. Yeah, and it sure came from God knows where, what kind of experiences in their own lives. It doesn't mean unnecessarily hold those particular opinions. But I would have a problem if they brought those views, whether I agree with it or not, on stage. Because now when we go see a Kiss concert, when we listen to their music, and Branch, you're right, that's the escape. And I don't want any reality at these shows. Mm-hmm. I don't want any reality when I'm listening to the music. So for me, that's the big difference.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Next question, Brandt. So how do you feel about all the drama in the Kiss camp? I love this question for you. I love it. Look at you. You're already. But please, you know, there's something we need to ask you. So be honest. Come on, be open. So we want to hear what you think. So do you believe it hurts the band or the brand?
Well, all the drama that's been going on with Kiss has been going on for years. It's been going on since Peter left, since Peter got fired and Ace left. Ace has never been fired from Kiss. He's left every single time. And, you know, they begged him not to leave the first time, and I will die on that soapbox because it is the truth. Although that like I said, the other thing, the only reason why I said that I wouldn't go running out to meet Gene and Paul is because even though I love their band and I love their brand, I have a little bit of contempt against them because of their total revisionist ideology and their constant rewriting of history and the negativity that Gene and Paul hurl at Ace and Peter at every given opportunity that they get, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Gene and Paul have no problem in forgiving and forgetting when there's money to be made. They will happily take them back. And it's like, oh, it's all about the fans. And, you know, Gene's even said it, you know, we had this and this and this, but now screw it. We're together. We're for the fans. And that's what he said. The magic is back.
Yeah.
No, the possibility of dollar signs is back. You know, and I see that, and I hate that sometimes I can't live in a rose-colored glasses world towards KISS and look at them with only positivity. And I really sometimes envy those KISS fans that can. I know some KISS fans that they look at KISS with such rose-colored glasses. And that's not a slight towards them, because that's them. That's the world that they live in, and that's the world they want to live in. And it's not a slight towards anybody at all. I don't mean it that way. But I wish that I could be that way. But I'm also a very much analytical, realist person. And I see these things. I was there when these things happened. I know what happened. Gene and Paul cannot twist history. And they tried to do that for fans that weren't there, fans that wasn't even born then. And they tried to twist history, and they've got this movement out there, this ludicrous movement, where it's like, no East, no Ace, no Peter, no problem. You got two flat tires on a car. You got to get the tires off the car. And I'm like, you asshole, these guys, you wouldn't be where you're at without these guys. And it's that kind of stuff that makes me get on a Brant's rant, which I'm very well known for on my channel. You kind of experience a little one here. that makes them, I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking? These guys, you owe these guys so much. I'm not going to say you owe them everything, because yes, is Paul a hard worker? Paul Stanley's probably the hardest worker in KISS. Look at the 80s. Look at Asylum. Look at Animalize. He kept the band together. Gene was off doing his own thing. Ace and Peter were fired, had new people in the band. So Gene kept, or Paul kept that band together. Gene kept the brand going. Gene's all about the brand. Paul's all about the music. Gene's about the image. But, you know, whenever there was money to be made, oh, everything was fine. And now that they don't need them anymore, Now they're not needing anymore. They're drunks and losers again. And Ace is still putting out solo albums and touring. So what? He's touring clubs and small venues. I mean, does Gene have a successful solo career or a solo career at all? Does Paul have a solo career at all? Not really. And so I think in a way they're a little envious, because Peter's done. Peter's retired. He's happily retired. He's going around doing his conventions, making thousands of dollars, going around tens and thousands of dollars, going around doing these conventions. Peter's content. Peter ain't trying to get back up on stage with KISS. Ace, I think Ace would do it if they paid him, because Ace knows his worth. Ace knows he puts butts in the seats, and Ace ain't going to do it for free. I ain't going to hold that against Ace. I tell Gene and Paul, if you want Ace in the band, put up or shut up. But since he is telling you, hey, I'm not going to come back for free, and I'm not going to be on the same stage with Tommy Thayer, then don't use that as an opportunity to call him a loser, call him this. Now, on the other side of the coin, was Ace right to do what he did on Eddie Trunk? No, he was not, because what he did was he got down in the mud with Gene and Paul and made himself no better than they are. And he actually come off looking kind of crazy. And then on the follow-up thing that he did, he come off looking kind of crazy. And so it's just like, don't do that no more, Ace. It's like, put out your solo albums, have your do your tours, make your money, stay away from Gene and Paul. It's a caustic situation. It's a bad situation. You're never going to win. They're always going to make you look like the bad guy. And I don't like it because it hurts my heart, because it's almost like when you see family members fighting at holidays. Well, you get together at Thanksgiving and there's this uncle that don't get along with this other person, and they end up bickering at each other across the table, and you just want to smack their heads together and say, "Will you shut up and just enjoy being together?" I wish they'd just shut up and enjoy the brand and the dynasty and the history
that they created. Yeah.
And just say kind words towards each other, because you got the kids like myself that just sees mommy and daddy fighting.
Yeah.
And the kids don't want mommy and daddy to fight. They want mommy and daddy to get along, even though they don't live together anymore and they're not married anymore. At least be civil. And that's on both sides. That's not just Gene and Paul. That's on both sides.
Yeah.
But they seem to thrive off of it. And I don't think it hurts the band. I don't think it hurts the brand, because you're going to have those sheep out there that they're still going to go to the concerts. They're going to go to the shows. They're going to buy the albums. They're going to buy the next off the soundboard. They're going to buy the next box set or the next deluxe color vinyl. And that they do a low number run on, and then the ticket scalper is going to buy up the tickets and charge four times the price, and the eBay people are going to buy up the colored vinyl of the box set and jack the price up four times, just like they did with those leaks. And doesn't have to be, it can be Kiss related. They did the same thing with Eric Carr. It was for sale for $40 on record store day, and now it's for sale $200 and up on eBay. It's ridiculous. It's just freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, I'm hot now.
We got you going. Love it. Pask, what's your take on this one?
Listen, I mentioned it from the previous question. I don't like it when the band brings the politics on stage, right? This is no different. When they bring in the drama, it basically destroys the fantasy that Kiss has created. And for me, that's really a shame. Now, you know, that comment that Paul made on the Howard Stern show that with Ace, he would be pissed. Like, come on, man. That was completely uncalled for. Yeah. What was that? Because I was listening to that interview. And it's like, oh my God, this is one of the best interviews they've done. Then he says that. Like, come on.
Yeah.
There was absolutely no reason for him to do that. And there's no reason for him to keep going after Ace and Peter all the time. It's like, what's the point? What's the point? Hey, listen, you guys are the greatest band in the world. What are you complaining about? Peter and Ace are really happy. And Brant, like you were saying, Ace continues to produce music and go on tour. Let them have their thing. And Paul and Gene, you do your thing. What's the big deal? Yeah. I don't understand the drama. And also with the fans, you know, I'm in this because, you know, I thank Kiss for the experiences this band has afforded me. And part of the experience is being within the Kiss community. And when the Kiss community is fighting, again, it destroys that fantasy world that I live in. And I choose to live in that world. I don't care what anybody says. I love that world. You know, with the with those bootleg tapes that came out recently and the problems that
caused. Awesome.
It's like, oh my God. I refuse to be a part of that. I refuse to even put that kind of stuff on the show. You know, I don't want any of that, because I want things to be positive. Between the fans, and just enjoy the band for what it is, a simple escape. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Claudia?
Well, I'm pretty much with you guys. I'm going to be a shorter and more simplistic. I don't like it. I hate it, actually. You know, when basically you're biting, you know, the hand that fed you, you know, for your whole life. So you created a monster. These guys, they created an empire. And now, you know, they're saying all kinds of bad things about it, you know, going back in the past. I think that some of the stuff is already, it's also staged, you know, because promotion, you know, it's always good. It doesn't matter what you say, but if you get on the radio, I think that I'm not blaming Ace, because I think that Ace went off the wheels with Eddie Trunk. And Eddie was kind of, you know, pushing him to say what he said, but it's also promotion for Ace, you know, and But it, to me, it's a bit sad that they have to go back to that in order to get, you know, promotion. Come on, they will still sell out Madison Square Garden. So they don't need to say bad things about Peter and Ace. I really hate it. I love, you know, I'm an original lineup guy. I love, you know, all eras. But I don't think they need to, you know, to bash, you know, Ace and Peter all the time.
Or at all.
You know, exactly. So it's, they don't need that. So if you don't like what they're doing, if you don't like, in the case of Paul and Gene, if they don't like that, that Peter and Ace accept their conditions, don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut, you know, let them live their lives. And that's it. You don't need to throw, you know, a lot of BS towards those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sad, man, because it happens to me with my kids. You know, my kids, they went into KISS thanks to my fandom, and then they get on the social media and they read all this kind of stuff and they come to me saying, why is all this happening? You know, mm-hmm. I thought that we're not saying that this is a kind of a happy family, because all the bands, you know, they're so strange. And we also have to take into account something, guys. As you get older, you get grumpy, and you know, all the BS starts to flow, and mm-hmm. and these guys, you know, they turn on the fan, and you know, it goes everywhere, you know. And, but yeah, it's sad. I don't like it at all. I hate it.
The thing that I think makes me the saddest about it was the example that I gave was two parents that aren't together anymore, but have nothing good to say to each other. And they, not only do they not have any, they don't have any love towards each other, but they get the kids involved. And, in that, they're trying to get the kid to pick sides.
That's right.
Who do you love more? Do you love mommy more? Or do you love daddy more? And what they don't understand is the kids love them both.
Yep.
The kids love mommy and daddy, even though they're not together anymore. So I love Gene and Paul, and I love Ace and Peter.
That's right.
And I love them whether they're not together anymore or not, because I listen to the band that I grew up listening to. And what that just does is that just pains me as a fan, a longtime fan of KISS. I hate using the word. One of my pet peeves, y'all learn this with me, is I hate the word true fan, because that is such a broad, what is a true fan? Because somebody says, oh, a true fan spends $20,000 and goes to several KISS shows and gets all the guitars and goes to, and gets all the behind the scenes and this, that, and the other. If you have the money to do that, if you have the extra expense to do that, fine, that's great. But you're no more of a true fan than a person who only has 1% of your income and owns one KISS album, but loves that KISS album with all their fiber and all their being. You're no more of a true KISS fan than they are. So I hate the term true KISS fan. I hate that term because people try to start pulling their KISS collections out and seeing which one's bigger, if you know what I'm saying. And there's no place for that in this community. We're all KISS fans. And that's why I don't get on people. It's like, man, if this environment, if this era of KISS is your era of KISS, man, rock on. If that's all you know, and it's all you love and you don't care about Ace and Peter, go back and listen. Even though you listen to some of the newer some of the later albums, rock on. That's your prerogative, you know. Yeah. But don't stick your finger in my face and go, well, Ace and Peter, who needs them? Mm-hmm. Well, you needed them. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the albums you're listening to. Even though they ain't on them, that band hadn't been around to make those albums after they left. So it's just like, anyway. I'll get off that. I'm stepping out off that box.
Well, here's another hot topic, the set list, right? Everybody complains about, you know, what is the ultimate set list? And we're always seeing and hearing the same thing at the KISS concerts. All right, let me put you on the spot here then. Regarding KISS concerts, would you sacrifice the spectacle of the show for the music. So have those obscure songs, those songs that you want. Or do you sacrifice the music, the same old set list, but have that big bombastic show? What would you prefer?
Well, I can interpret this question a couple ways, and I'll interpret it both ways real quick. To me, in concerts these days, like I said, I've not been to a Kiss concert in over 20 years, and I know watching it on YouTube, even if I watch it on my big TV with my surround sound system, it's not the same. I've been to enough concerts in my life to know that there's something about being there in the moment and the adrenaline and the rush takes over and feeling the energy of the crowd, and you don't hear a lot of the mistakes, and you can't tell if Paul's using tracks or not, or that or the other. It just kind of all falls to the side. But just here lately, the band, they seem like they're tired. They sound tired. The music doesn't have fire in it. Tommy can't play. Paul can't sing. Gene's reduced to standing there sticking his tongue out. Eric looks bored. And love or hate what I'm saying, I know a bunch of Kiss Army members who feel the way I do, but I think if tickets have been on sale for End of the Road since before COVID, and they didn't have, whenever End of the Road went on sale initially, they did not have tickets for my area really on sale back in the day when it went on sale before COVID. And so I wasn't sure if I was going to go or not. So I started seeing the set lists and I started seeing the set, and I was like, man, I've heard all these songs and, you know, I don't know if this isn't really a thing. I thought this was going to be a celebration of the fans. This just like, it's like a celebration of the masses. And, you know, like I said, I don't want to start classifying fans again, and I don't want to do that. But it's just like me personally, I'm like, man, no thanks. So then the End of the Road, they turned into, oh, we're going to do another, you know, we're going to go through and see everybody. And they did. They came through and saw everybody. Oh, we're going to come around again. And, oh, then it got cut short because of COVID. Then they come back after COVID, and everybody was like, oh, man, I figure we're going to have the same stage. But they've had a lot of time off. You remember Paul was doing those videos from his house when they couldn't go out. Bruce was doing videos from his house. That was so cool. And, come out, it's like, man, they've had time to rehearse, and man, they've even had time to record an album. There was a band recording albums during that time, doing it remotely. But no, not Kiss. They don't have us fans, we don't want no more new music. I mean, they know what we want, and we don't want more new music. We just want off the soundboards and stuff re-released over and over and over and repackaged. And so it was just like, oh, maybe we'll get a new set list. No, they've been doing basically the same set list this whole tour. And it's like, the only way that at this point in time they're going to get Brant up out of his chair to go be around a bunch of people, to go to pay hundreds of dollars, to go through the trouble of taking my butt an hour or two away to a venue to be around people. I don't like the people too much, but to be around people and to go see a show, is if you take about 80% of what you're doing and trash it and bring in stuff that either you've not played in a very long time or stuff that you've never made before. If you're going to make it about the fans, pull out Mr. Speed. Pull out, you know, even if Paul can't sing it the way he used to sing it, I'd like to hear him at least attempt it. Pull out some of the stuff that they're doing during sound checks. I mean, come on, you know, play Going Blind, I Got to Choose, you know, play stuff. They're playing it during sound check. Why not play it? You know, and I mean, I'll even go in this point, and this is something, and then I'll shut up. But just talking about making it about the spectacle, sacrifice the music for the show and stuff like that. Set list, there's got to be an update to the set list if you wanted me to come to a show. But at this point, what I feel like they should do, and this is going to go totally against what everybody wants, to me, what I think they should do is, I feel like by now they should have, I think they need the show at this point. I think they need that show. They need that makeup. They need all that. But I think that they should take the makeup off. I think they should make a makeupless album, aka Revenge, because I love the, I know music's changed, but with Revenge and Carnival of Souls, I love the direction they were going. Kiss was becoming a legit band. They were getting street cred. They were getting cred among, you wasn't a joke for being a Kiss fan. And they were getting some cred going. And I think they should make a makeupless album, and they should have, and they should go out on a makeupless tour. And I've heard people say, oh, that ain't Kiss. That ain't what Kiss does. They did it from 83 to 96. They did it from 83 to 96. So why not now? So, but I think they could sacrifice. I don't know if either way would be a sacrifice to me. I would love the show that they have. The stage that they have, I think, is awesome. It is very impressive. But I'm just tired of hearing the same songs over and over and over. Even if it is, I mean, now, no surprise, one of the songs I want them to keep is Close the Show with Detroit Rock City, or before. Yeah, Close the Show with Detroit Rock City, because I've heard Rock and Roll All Night enough. Mm-hmm. But that's just me. That's very unpopular, because Rock and Roll All Night has to close the show. That's a very unpopular thought. But I'd love to hear what you guys think.
All right. Claudio, what do you think?
Well, the way the question is asked, it also gives me two takes on this. If I speak from the generic point of view, I would sacrifice the spectacle for the music, because I'm a music guy. I love listening to stuff. I love going to the cruise when they play obscure songs and all of that. But at the same time, the way Kiss is today, that they are celebrating their heydays, you know, they're hanging up the boots and everything. I'm willing to sacrifice the music for the spectacle. I want to go to a show and have this experience, you know, sharing with friends of what a Kiss show is. And I'll be okay if they don't play, you know, obscure songs. I'll be okay if they still play the same set list. But this is a timing issue, okay? So that's because of the specifics of the end of the road. If mm-hmm. if you were to ask me this like 5 or 10 years ago, I could have said, no, come on, give me new songs, man. I'm tired of listening to the same stuff over and over again. But now I don't think that's possible. And I agree with you, Brent. So it's a product. Everything is kind of script, the whole show with the gimmicks, with the effects and the songs and everything. So I don't think these guys, they might want to take a risk of throwing one or two or three different songs in the set list today. So I'll take it for what it is. I hope that answers the question.
It does. You know, this depends. If we're living in a fantasy world where, you know, Paul could sing the songs, the obscure songs, like he did back in the day, for me, yeah, sacrifice the show, downsize the show for the music. Play things, man, that, you know, they've never played live, but they actually can't play live right now, you know? And I agree with Brent. I'm not so sure that would work in a concert setting, but a more intimate setting without the makeup and to just, you know, play those obscure songs. Matt, you know, I would prefer that over the big bombastic show. I really would. But unfortunately, I don't believe that's the reality. Even if they wanted to do that, I don't think they have the means to do that anymore. Okay. I remember, I forget which year and which tour, but they played in Niagara Falls, New York. And I remember trying to find the venue on Google, and I couldn't find it. I didn't know where I was sitting. And that's because they set up the stage and the seats in the freaking casino parking lot. Like, first of all, what is this? Is it a tribute band? You know, let's not go there. And then it was the worst show I've ever seen. Paul sounded awful. I find the band usually is very tight. No way. No, they were awful. And I remember walking on the street after the show, people going, how's the show? I was going, yeah, fantastic. No, it wasn't. And I'm telling you right now, if that continued, I would have stopped going to see Kiss. So if they need backing tracks to keep the magic alive, so be it. So right now, the reality is, it's not about the music, it's about the spectacle. And I will continue going to the show because I want to be immersed in that fantasy world and just be taken by the show. And whatever they play, I'm okay with that. Listen, at the end of the road, their final tour in New York, Claudia and I, when we go see that, that'll be my 77th show. I've seen them so many times, heard the same things over and over again, but I keep seeing them year after year. Because I want to be surrounded by the spectacle and by the fans. At this point, it's not even about the shows anymore. It's about the experience with the fans. And to me, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, respect for that. Yep.
Cool. Nice. So we get to the final question. Brant, we always hear, be careful what you say. It might come back to haunt you in the future. So do you believe the band is tied to what was said in the past?
I think they should be. And I think they should be. And I think they try not to be, kind of is what I was talking about earlier. Gene and Paul really like to rewrite the past. They seem to have no shame. And sometimes I think they have told certain lies so often that they don't even know what the truth themselves is anymore. Just reading in Paul's book and reading in Gene's book and reading in Ace's book and reading in Peter's book, it's funny. You had four different views and four different opinions about what happened to that band. Mm. But I often felt like that Gene's and Paul's were more similar and that Peter's and Ace's were more similar. And Peter's was a little more hypercritical of it. And Paul's was a little more hypercritical of it. And it kind of is funny because I know that Gene and Ace have a pretty good outside of Kiss relationship. You know, they toured together. Ace did some of his vaults. And Ace even took his band. I'm pretty sure that was agreed on, that he didn't do it without Gene's blessing. And even though Paul has appeared on Ace's album, a solo album, one of his solo albums doing a song, I don't know how much of that was, hey, I want you to do a song on my album or I don't know. That still kind of puzzles me, that whole thing. But I think they should be accountable for it. But they always seem to try to rewrite their narrative to suit what they're trying to promote at the time. Yeah. And I see it as, and it gets to me, it makes me angry because I see it as fan manipulation and they get away with it and they take so much money. And they make so much money riding on the coattails of their past. And it's a past that they created for the most part with guys, not only Ace and Peter, but you have to credit Eric Carr, Vinnie Vincent, Bruce Kulick, even Mark St. John. They created this past with these guys, but yet they act like the only people they need is Tommy and Eric. And just because Tommy and Eric are good yes men or good mature, they know where their bread's buttered, as you say, they don't have the legacies that Ace has, and they don't have the legacies that Peter has to be able to fall back on. I mean, Eric could probably be in other bands, just as he was in other bands before. What's Tommy going to do? Is he going to go back to maybe finishing up the final Kissology that we're still waiting on? I mean, I don't understand what really Eric and Tommy have contributed to the band other than keeping Kiss in makeup, wearing the makeup. I read one of my dear friends commented the other day. He was posting something and he said something about, to me, Tommy is the spaceman. Ace is no longer the spaceman. And that's his opinion. Did part of me want to jump in his comments and say, there's only one spaceman? Well, that's my opinion. But to me, there is only one spaceman. There only will ever be one spaceman and one Catman to me. But that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. You can't argue that as a fact, because there is, in fact, two people who have played the character of a spaceman. There is Tommy and there is Eric. One's the original and one is the copy. So it's just, you know, and you can't argue that fact, because Ace was the original spaceman and Tommy is the copy spaceman, just as the Catman too. But I just do think it's sad how that Gene and Paul have manipulated the fans, over the years. And, I think what they do is, because the reason why is they know they're not going to lose me. Kiss is not going to lose me. I mean, they're still going to put out stuff, and dang it, they're still going to put out stuff that I want to buy. You know, I mean, they're going to put out stuff that I'm going to want to buy. But so they know they got me. But, you know, so what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep that fan base broad. They're trying to keep that fan base very broad, because the broader the fan base, the more people you have buying albums, buying merchandise, and going to concerts. So it's incredibly intelligent of them, but it's also incredibly manipulative at the same time. So I do think things that they say, I don't think things that they say haunt them, because I think no matter what they say, they have to start attacking the fans in order for it to hurt them. They have never came out and said anything except positive about the fans. We love our fans. We do everything for our fans, whether that's the truth or not. They're doing it for the fans' money. But, and I understand that. I'm an adult and I understand that. Why do we do what we do? We do it. Why do we go to work? We do it for money. I mean, I love my job, but I'm not going to go. I don't care how much I love my job. If I walk in tomorrow and they'd be like, you know what? We heard you love your job so much. We're not going to pay you anymore, but we expect you to keep coming. I'm going to be like, no. I'm not coming anymore. But they know they got the fans, as long as they don't say anything negative towards the fans, and they don't. They've never pitted. We are, you know, they're we are one. We are all one. Not whatever era, and that is true. What they say is true. We are all one, no matter what era we favor, no matter what band, what member we like, what member we don't like, what songs we don't like, what concerts we don't like, what their political opinion is or what it isn't. We still love this band. And as long as they don't come out and be like, our fans are idiots, or the people that liked us in the 70s, they need to get over themselves and get on board with the current, you know, era. As long as they don't do that, to me, that is stuff that would haunt them. It would haunt them. It would hurt them. You would have old era guys like me selling their stuff, getting their money back out of it, and being like, to hell with you guys. You know? So I don't think they can say anything about each other that's gonna haunt them. Only the fans.
Good point. Busk?
It's an interesting question. I think it's a matter of perspective. I don't think the band has ever said anything that's contradictory or lied to the fans in any way. Let me explain that. I believe what they're doing is nothing more than a sales pitch. They've been doing that their entire career as a band. Now, as a sales pitch, you tend to lie, exaggerate, make things bigger than it is, make things more interesting, more pleasing than it is, because you're trying to sell a product. Now, it's up to us to decide whether or not we literally buy that product or buy into the sales pitch in order to buy that product. It's up to us. But let's not fool ourselves into thinking that, you know, what they're saying is all truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. No, it's not. I see it for what it is. Again, I believe it's a sales pitch, nothing more than that. But in that sales pitch, they need to be careful what they say, because fans remember, and they may say something that will haunt them later on in the future. A great example of that is Gene with, oh, bands are not real rock and roll bands, that they have backing tracks and blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what's happening now? And that, I think, is hurting the band. If Gene didn't say that, because again, he was selling the product, but if Gene didn't say that, it would be, I believe it would be less of an issue today. But because Gene opened up his mouth about that, everybody remembers what he said. Everything you say now is in print. It's online. You can't hide from that. And I'm sorry, that is going to hurt the brand. People are going to be less likely to buy into their advertising of that particular product. Now, what also, in my opinion, hurts the band is, again, it's the infighting, because that has nothing to do with the product. It has to do with them personally. So it's like walking into a store and wanting to buy something, and you see the salespeople fighting. I would just turn around and leave, because I don't see those salespeople as credible anymore. They don't seem professional to me. I think they're going to come to me and just lie their faces off. I'm out of here. So I see the band and this question from that same perspective.
So do you think that all of that it's affecting the business for the band, even if they criticize or they bash each other, even to Ace and Peter? I don't think they're selling less because of that.
No.
Do you think that it has an impact on their business model there, what they're doing now, or what they have been doing for a long, long time?
No, and I agree with Brent. It doesn't affect anything. No. I think if they ever insulted the fans, it would be over.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
Sure. For sure.
That's right.
So what are your thoughts, Claudio?
Well, to me, again, I'm going to tie this question with the politics and all of that I said before. I don't care too much, what they say. I guess that at this point in time, after being with this band for so many, many years, four of us, three of us, we kind of breathed these guys for what, 40 years or more, 45 years.
Yeah.
We already, as they start speaking out, we already know the kind of stuff that they're saying, if it's BS, if it's true or not. So we heard this song over and over again. I don't, again, this is my opinion. I don't pay too much attention to what they say. And, it's true that they never went against the fans, or they never said anything bad about the fans. And to me, that's the main pillar of their business model. Mm-hmm. If they don't hurt the fans, anything goes. I can talk about, now I regret, what we in the Howard Stern, Paul saying that they didn't behave the way they should have with Eric Carr, and all of that. So anything goes, because they keep selling stuff, So I think that they would stop criticizing and backstabbing if there's no sales. If they good enough sold out Madison Square Garden because people wanted to see Peter and Ace, guess what?
Yes.
They could have never said anything bad about Ace and Peter. Never,
absolutely.
Ever.
So true. So true. So, Brent, I want to take this episode full circle and wrap up the episode with one final question. So we mentioned in the introduction that you enjoy 80s and 90s music, right? You are clearly a music fan. So how would you compare being a Kiss fan compared to other bands out there?
Well, I've said this before on my channel, and it actually, I said it in a video, and I think the video got a lot of comments and drew a lot of fire. But I love Kiss. They're kind of like my oldest friend, but they're not always my best friend, and I clearly don't collect, any more memorabilia or buy more albums from any other band, because I don't have the history with other bands that I have with Kiss. And I don't have the childhood history with Kiss that really is what kind of, it's my inner root. It's that deep tap root that keeps me kind of connected to them, is most of the stuff that's behind me and the era that I grew up in that's behind me. But a lot of times they're not the band I listen to the most. I listen to a lot of 80s bands. I listen to a lot of Guns N' Roses. I listen to a lot of one of my favorite bands is a gothic band from the 90s called Typo Negative. I'm a huge Typo Negative fan. I actually have some Typo Negative videos on my channel. Like I said, at this point, I'm in love with Kiss. It's funny because it's like I'm in love with who and what Kiss was and what they've been for me over the last 20 years or the last 40 years. The first 20 years of that relationship was really good. The last 20 years, not so much. Mm-hmm. But it's like a relationship that's gone bad, but you still have the memories of how things used to be. That kind of keeps you from breaking it off because, well, it was good and it's not bad, but it's not as good as it used to be. And I understand this is all from my perspective of being a fan, a longtime fan from almost the beginning. And those who are yet much younger, I understand that this Kiss is their Kiss. So this, I try to keep that perspective in my head that the Kiss that I grew up with, that I was exposed to, that was when I discovered them, is the Kiss that a lot of people that's in their 20s and early 30s and stuff, that's their Kiss now. Mm-hmm. But that's not always the case. I know people that are younger that were exposed to Kiss later in life after the Kiss that I'm a fan of no longer existed, like my son and some people that I've been on my channel, some people in their 20s that's been on my channel in videos. Their Kiss is their favorite Kiss is the earlier Kiss, but mm-hmm. they also love the newer Kiss. Mm-hmm. They don't view Kiss in the way that I do. But I still enjoy listening to Kiss, and I think that musically, I think their music has held up. You listen to Kiss music from the 70s, it still sounds good. You can pop it into this day, music from the 70s, from the 80s. The 90s, the stuff they put out in the early 90s and Carnival of Souls, especially Carnival of Souls. I've actually played Carnival of Souls for somebody and they're like, man, who is this? And I'm like, this is Kiss. And they're like, oh, is this their new album? I'm like, no, this thing's like 20 years old, man. And they're like, God, this sounds like it could have come out today. And I'm like, yeah. So Kiss has, just because they had a way of reinventing themselves over the years, they managed to stay relevant. They managed to create music in different genres of rock. And they, you know, they're really talented songwriters. They're really talented artists and musicians. And, with me being, 54 now and being a Kiss fan for 45 years, they're a huge part of my life. But it's not always their music is a huge part of my life. Sometimes it's the brand and the band of Kiss. Nice. It's a huge part of my life. Mm-hmm. Music wise, Kiss is probably 30% in the mix, but I'm listening to, I'm at the age, dudes, I'm listening to some yacht rock, I'm all over the place when it comes to music. Mm-hmm. I listen to everything from 70s, 60s, 80s, 90s, some 2000s. The newer, closer the years get to me, I find that I listen to that music the least. Yeah. Kiss is right there with other bands I listen to. But I love too many 80s bands and 90s bands to even mention. Everybody from Alice in Chains, Rat, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, Van Halen. I mean, just all the – and then Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, Jackson Brown from the 70s. I mean, it's just like, Eagles. I'm all over the place when it comes to music. I like more music than music I dislike. Because mm-hmm. I'm just a musical person, and right. I've played in bands and done stuff like that, so I like that kind of stuff. But it's real hard to compare Kiss to other bands because I have such a deep affinity for Kiss, the actual band themselves, because they are, like I said, right there with Elvis as far as earliest memories of music.
Yeah, and not only your memories, but it's also that Kiss is so much more than music, right? That's why, you know? So
they're a visual band. I mean, name another band that does this.
Exactly. Yeah.
There isn't one. There isn't another band that does this.
Look, Brent, it's been a true pleasure, man. It's you know, this is our first time, you know, exchanging opinions, and I would love, you know, to be part of your show. Count me in whenever you feel like doing something. And again, thank you for your time, man. It's been great. You know, I love your opinion, and you know, keep it up with your projects. So they are amazing. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I definitely want to have you guys in on a video. I got some ideas I'm tossing around, like I said, and so, you know, a month or so, I'm going to be reaching out to you guys and throwing something at you, and I get collaborative with people. I'll see like, hey, what do you think about this? I was thinking about doing this, you guys are invited to just take it as is, or be like, oh, yeah, we could do that, and we could also do this, and make it kind of a group collaborative effort.
Super. Super cool.
No, that's a really cool idea. I'd be definitely for that. But, you know, I want to thank you again for being on the show. And I also want to thank you for your honesty and your openness with your answers. No. You know what? You're the epitome of a KISS fan, because you do this with respect. You know that not all of your opinions are enjoyed by the majority or by everybody, and they may agree with it or not. It's okay, but at least it's done with respect. And the three of us may or may not agree, but it's always done with openness and respect. And that's the great thing about it. We learn about each other in the process. And I think that is fantastic. It's another great reason to be a KISS fan. And again, we're looking forward to seeing more of you, being on your show, doing the round table with Rob and Xander. It's going to be so much fun. I'm so looking forward to seeing you again. And you definitely didn't disappoint on this episode. So thank you very much.
If you are interested in hearing more about me, and honestly, I promise I'm not always this salty, but if you are interested, you can find me on YouTube at, you can search In My Head channel. You can also find me on Twitter. Just search In My Head. You can find me on Instagram, In My Head. And you can find me of all places on TikTok. All you have to do is just search In My Head, or In My Head channel. And I usually come up on those as well. I also have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/InMyHead. And that is a subscription page where you can get on there and you can see material that never makes it to YouTube. You can see uncut versions of some of my shows, and you always usually at least get the videos a few days early than everybody else. And we also do some we do watch parties, things that we can't necessarily do on YouTube, like we watch Kiss Exposed and just have a good old time commenting and doing commentary on it. We watched last Halloween, we watched Kiss Meets the Fam of the Park. We'll watch some Kiss videos and just do things. We watched, I think one of the last things we did, we watched the Tom Shannon show and laughed at Ace and Peter through the whole thing and made fun of Gene and Paul and all their look getting pissed off faces. And so we have a good time, and it's stuff that we can't really show on YouTube because YouTube will shut it down for copyright reasons. So we just spin up a Zoom and I share my screen and we just watch stuff together and hang out for a couple hours. And that's all part of the Patreon membership that you can subscribe to if you're interested. So that's basically me and where you can find me if you're interested.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks again.
All right.
The KISS Army. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, especially about what we talked about, well, message Brent. No, I'm just kidding.
Bring it on. I can take it. I got thick skin.
No, you can send your comments, ideas to talk to me at kissarmynationpodcast.com. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, like and subscribe on YouTube or follow us on Spotify, Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to make yourself heard. leave us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. See you all soon, Kiss Army.